Today, if you did a search for the word love on the internet, you would be directed to thousands of searches that could be done, directing you to definitions, to songs, to stories, and even movies that have been done or written on the subject of love. The sad part is, even though there is all kinds of information available on that subject of love, too many people do not fully understand it, nor do they know how to show proper love to others. Some imagine what love is. Some believe it is a feeling, words expressed in a certain way. Now, love does usually refer to strong feelings, and feelings are important. But there is a greater love that rises above human emotions. And that love is defined in the Bible. The Bible shows us not only what love is, but also the source of greater love. And here's something that's very, very important for all of us. We as disciples have access to that source, that greater source. It's a power available to us by means of the Holy Spirit to truly express love. Please turn with me to John chapter 15 to begin the sermon this afternoon. And if you remember, we talked about bearing fruit, one of the points during the sermon on Pentecost last week, that we as disciples are actually appointed. We are chosen, and part of our commission is to bear fruit. And here in John chapter 15, there's a section for disciples that Christ tells them to bear fruit. So let's pick it up in John chapter 15, and we'll pick it up where we were last week in John chapter 15, verse number 8, in this section covering bearing fruit. John chapter 15, verse number 8, Christ says this to disciples, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples." And that's one of the definitions of a disciple, is bearing fruit. That's what we want to be doing as disciples. Then we come to verse number 9. Christ says this, "As the Father loved me, I have also loved you." And then this strong admonition, "Abide in my love." Abide in my love is Christ's admonition to us as disciples. And Christ's love is patterned after the Father's love. Because he says, "As the Father loved me." And Christ showed his love for all of us and all of mankind as he lowered himself from the God plane to die for all of our sins so that our sins could be forgiven. That's the kind of love that Christ has shown to all of us and even the Father as well, because he is part of his plan that was to take place. So a couple questions for us. How can we as disciples have that same kind of attitude and mindset as Christ had? And how do we develop and grow in that kind of love? Well, the answer is through God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit can help us to grow and develop a Christ-like love. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. These words in John chapter 15 is what the Apostle John heard from Christ as they were walking on the road towards Gethsemane. And then later on, he wrote more about what Christ had said and further developing the magnitude of the Father and the Son's love. In First John chapter 4, and we will begin reading verse number 7. This is a section that has a title, and the title is God is Love. And again, John explains the magnitude of the Father's and the Son's love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. And as we read through this, remember what John was listening to from Jesus Christ as they were walking along that road toward Gethsemane. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, he writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. God is love, and love is the very foundation of God's character. Continuing on, the last part of verse number 7. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, is developing that relationship with God. Verse number 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And we're going to see how the Apostle John repeats that phrase, God is love, because again, it is part of his very character. Verse number 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to die for all of our sins, not only ours, but all of mankind's sins as well. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. A Christ-like love towards others. Verse number 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Abiding in God, abiding in Christ, that relationship being built. God's love is perfected in us. In verse number 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. God's Spirit helps us to develop a relationship with God in Christ and to abide in their love. Helps us. That's what we've talked about on Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit is a power that helps us to do things that we normally can't do as human beings. And it helps us to develop that relationship with God and Christ, to abide in their love. Verse number 16. And known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love, who's bearing the fruit of love, the fruit of the Spirit of love, abides in God and God in him. God's love in us, working in us, helps us to transform our character to love as God loves. God's love working in us is truly a blessing. The title of this afternoon's sermon is Love, a Fruit of the Spirit. Love, a Fruit of the Spirit. Today, let's examine this very vital and important character trait, the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of the Spirit of love. In the sermon today, we will learn how to grow in the fruit of the Spirit of love, developing that love through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's God's power. It's God's help to help us to express this valuable fruit. And we have that help. It's available to us. Love is a fruit of God's Spirit. And as I mentioned earlier, too many do not understand, nor do they express love the way that God intends us to. Let's now go to Galatians chapter 5. And we know this is the section of Scripture that lists the fruits of the Spirit. And there's a title to this section of Scripture. And the title is Walk in the Spirit. And I think I mentioned that last week, that walking in the Spirit means to use the Spirit, to take advantage of the Spirit, so that we can grow in the fruits of the Spirit and not the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to concentrate on verses 22 and 23, but let's pick it up in verse number 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Again, use the Spirit, take advantage of the Spirit, is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't go down that road, the fleshly lust. Go down the path of following God. And then let's drop down to verse number 22, as he admonishes us to walk in the Spirit. Verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, faith, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love is a fruit of God's Spirit. And these are the various fruits listed here that are reflecting God's character. These are character qualities of God Himself. And these can be reproduced in us by the power of God's Holy Spirit, by that help that we have. And love begins and tops the list. Love is listed first because this is the fruit that we really need to understand and reflect in our lives. Because God is love. We saw that written three times in 1 John chapter 4. It's His character quality. And we need to be living that fruit of the Spirit in our lives as well. Every aspect of the various fruits here then listed are a specific expression of God's love. I want to take a few minutes now and go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And understand why mankind in general does not express true love and what went wrong. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, we realize that chapter 1 describes the creation week, where God recreated the things on the earth here, the earth, the heavens, the sea, etc. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That mention of the Spirit of God is there for a purpose and a reason, because it's God's power that was hovering over and doing the creation. God, with the power of His Spirit, created the heavens and the earth. You can put down in your notes if you would like. We're not going to turn there, but in Job 26:13, it says, by His Spirit, He adorned the heavens. So God's Spirit was involved in the creation week. Now let's drop down to verse number 26. Verse 26, this is describing the creation of man and woman. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and all the creeping things on the earth. Verse number 7. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So God made man in His own image, giving man and woman a measure of the attribute of love. A measure of the attribute of love. And also the ability to, or the capacity to extend, enlarge, and enrich this particular fruit. Notice verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Now when we read the first part of verse 28, we understand be fruitful and multiply means to be fruitful with descendants, grow and increase and fill and expand all around the earth. It has that meaning. But it's also interesting, this word be fruitful, from the phrase be fruitful and multiply, comes from the Hebrew word perah, P-A-R-A-H, P-A-R-A-H. And according to Strong's, it means to bear fruit, literally or figuratively. To bear fruit, literally or figuratively, to be fruitful, to grow and increase, like to increase throughout the earth with your descendants. But it also can mean that man has the ability to bear fruit, which we have that ability. But something went wrong with mankind, and we know that story. Let's drop over to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8 and 9. Genesis 2, verse 8, then God planted a garden eastward in Eden. He put the man whom He had formed. Verse number 9, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, which was the avenue to eternal life, the way to eternal life. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know the story that Adam and Eve did not choose the tree of life and going the path towards God, they chose to listen to Satan. And they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And things changed. And instead of going towards God, they went away from God. So God had placed man and woman in the Garden of Eden where they had access to the tree of life. And the tree of life represents the life-giving power of God's Spirit. But Adam and Eve rejected the tree of life and instead took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they lost access to the power and ability to control human nature. And mankind went on a downward slide from there. We can read in these first chapters of Genesis what happened to mankind. To eventually we come to Genesis chapter 6 when so much wickedness in the world that God had to destroy mankind. So much wickedness he had to destroy mankind except for Noah and his family and the animals that were saved in the ark. You know the story. So Adam and Eve did not go towards God. They did not press towards the perfection of love. They chose the wrong path. Now, humankind in general can't express love. But unfortunately, too often it's misguided, deteriorated, or twisted love. And we see it going on all around the world, unfortunately. And because they, Adam and Eve, along with their descendants, lacked access to the active presence of God in their lives, things got worse as far as mankind is concerned. They lost the ability to have that love that comes from God. But there's good news for all of us. The good news is that the love of God, that of outgoing concern for others, can be developed and can grow inside of our hearts and our beings through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to develop and grow love. I'm not going to turn there because we did last week at Pentecost, but in Acts 2:38, Peter showed the steps in that powerful sermon he gave on that day when the Holy Spirit Church, Acts chapter 2, he showed the steps of how the Holy Spirit can be developed in a enter into a person. Repent, be baptized, and by the means of the hand laying on ceremony, receive the Holy Spirit. And by means of the Holy Spirit, it helps us, it gives us the power so that we can abide in God's love and truly grow and develop it. We understand, and we talked about this on Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit is the power of God working in our lives. And the power helps us to make changes in how we live. God has given us access to that power, a power that can show results. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 now. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to read verses 12 through 14. This is a section where the Apostle Paul is talking about the new man, that one that has been baptized and raised up to live a new life in Christ. And there's a title to this section of Scripture, and the title is The Care of the New Man. You know, a new person that has been baptized and wants to walk with God in Christ, a new life in Christ. And this section that we're going to read here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, has some of the fruits of the Spirit listed, but in a different order. Colossians chapter 3, and picking up in verse number 12. Verse number 12, therefore, as the elect of God, and that's what we are, chosen believers, the elect that God has called out of this world. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, Paul writes. He says, put on tender mercies. Or in other words, grow in or develop the characteristics that he's going to lay out here. Put on or grow in tender mercies. And then he gives a list here. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Expressing love to another, forgiving another for whatever they might do to you. And then we come to verse number 14. And he sums up this section of scripture on these tender mercies, these character qualities. Verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Above all of these wonderful character qualities, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, we are to put on love. In other words, to grow in and develop that wonderful fruit of the Spirit of love. And he also says, the bond of perfection. Or we could also say, as some translations say, binds them all together in perfect unity. And the reason is, love sums up God's very character and binds up these other character qualities that we should be living and working on in our lives. Character qualities to be developing. There's one entire chapter in the Bible that's devoted to this fruit of the Spirit of, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's please go there now. It's known as the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 4 through 8. Apparently there was a lot of competition and envy within the Corinthian church. And Paul was showing that love is the greater element that could unify the church. And he talks about that in the first three verses here in chapter 13. And then we come down to verse number 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. And the Apostle Paul with this wonderful admonition. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Or in other words, it's not arrogant. Verse 5, does not boldly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And unfortunately, so many in the world, so many people that have gone down the wrong path, they actually rejoice in iniquity and sinning in the things that they do. But to have the character quality of love, we don't rejoice in iniquity, we rejoice in God's word and God's truth, as it says in the last part of verse number 6. Verse number 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. First part of verse number 8, love never fails. It doesn't fail because it's one of God's character qualities. God is love, and we should be growing and putting on in that quality with the help of God's Holy Spirit. Love never fails because it is the foundation of God's character. Let's drop down to verse number 13. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And we know we can talk about faith and what a wonderful quality that is. I mean, that is one of the things that we should be expressing in our lives as well. Hope, the hope of the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ to this earth. So much that we can talk about. They're wonderful qualities. But the greatest of these is love, the Apostle Paul says. And it's something that we need to be developing, this fruit in our lives. So how do we put on and grow in and develop this fruit of the Spirit? Well, let's talk about that as we go through this sermon now. First of all, to grow in and develop this fruit, we must follow Christ's example of love. We must follow Christ's example of love. He admonished disciples to abide in my love. We have to be developing the kind of love that he showed to all of mankind and putting on that kind of love. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We want to develop and put on the spirit of love. And we have to follow Christ's example. And we have many scriptures that we can turn to and see that example and learn from these examples. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read verses 1 through 2. And this has a title, this particular section, and it is to walk. Earlier we read in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, which means to use the Spirit, take advantage of the Spirit, walking in it. Here the title is walk in love. Use love in your life. Take advantage of love. Put it on in your life, we could say. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1, Apostle Paul Therefore, be imitators, or if you're reading in the King James Version, is followers of God as dear children. And that's what we want to be, is of God, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, as Peter puts it. Verse number 2, and walk in love. Again, take advantage of it, use it, put it on in your life. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So to walk in love, we could say, make it part of life. And Jesus Christ taught the disciples to follow him in example. And if we truly want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit of love, we must face example. As imitators, followers, disciples of self-sacrificial love. Christ was willing to lower himself down, to become a human being, to die for all of mankind's sins, so that we could all have the opportunity for eternal life and be a part of God's family. It's a wonderful thing that Christ has done for us. He does love us and all of mankind as well. And we need to be developing that kind of love as well. Let's notice chapter 4, verse 32. On the same page. And be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we want to be forgiving one another, kind to one another, just as God in Christ forgave us of our sins. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Again, talking about following Christ's example of love for all of us. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll read verses 43 through 45. Matthew chapter 5 is what we often call the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ was teaching disciples and teaching us his disciples. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 43. Verse 43, Christ says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now that last part of verse number 43 can be troubling to some, where Christ said, you shall hate your enemy. But hate your enemy was the traditional thinking among many of the Pharisees of Christ's day. They hated Christ so much, they wanted to kill him. And it actually took place. We can find many scriptures where they wanted to put him down, they hated him, and they wanted to kill him. And unfortunately, they did not have the spirit of love, the Pharisees, in the first century A.D. And they had that saying, you shall hate your enemy, not the right thing to be doing. Christ goes on in verse number 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. The opposite of what the Pharisees were saying. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is what Christ is teaching all of us. So if somebody, and there are people that take advantage of us, that say bad things, could be things behind our back, could be things to our face, things that hurt. And yet Christ admonishes us to pray for them. Those that would say something bad to you. Do good to them who spitefully use you and persecute you. And when you think about that persecute you, you know, we know the prophecy in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 9 through 12, 13, right through that section. It talks about right before Christ returns, there's going to be a lot of persecution of disciples. Are we going to be able to love them when they're persecuting us? To pray for them? That's what Christ says. Verse 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God is in control. God is in control always. And he knows those who are following his way and will take care of them. So Christ taught the opposite of what the Pharisees of his day did. Love your enemies. Bless them. Do good. Pray for them. And you know, we have help to do that. With our human nature, it's not easy to, when somebody's biting at you or persecuting you or saying bad things to you, it's not easy inside of us to be able to pray for them and love them. But we have help to do that by means of God's Holy Spirit, that extra help to fulfill godly love. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. This is the section of Scripture where the mother of the sons of Zebedee had brought her sons to Jesus Christ and was asking for one of the sons to be on Christ's right hand in the kingdom and the other one to be on the left hand in the kingdom. And Christ went on to show that it's not about getting power. It's about serving. That's what this section is all about here. Okay, let's pick it up here in Matthew 20, verse 25. Jesus called them together, disciples, and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them." And that's the way it's been for 6,000 years of mankind's history. Man gets into power and he wants to lord it over others. He has that power and he wants to put others down. Not all the time, but too many times throughout mankind's history it's been that way. Yet, verse 26, Christ says, "It shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." Just as Jesus Christ did. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to die for all of mankind. It's explained here as we continue on. "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He did not come to be served, but to serve. And that's the example he set for all of us, to serve others. Self-sacrificing service, which expresses love to others. And the right kind of love, that kind of love is a product of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's an expansive love. It's not selfish or stingy, but must be shared with others to be complete. And we have help to be able to do that. Our human efforts, just us by ourselves, cannot produce godly love, nor truly develop the character of God's love. But we can develop that type of love towards God and towards neighbor through the indwelling of God's Spirit. It is our help. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was writing to young Timothy. Timothy was about to embark as an elder to preach the gospel throughout the world. And Paul knew what he was going to be facing. He knew he was going to be facing trials, tribulations, all kinds of trials along the way. And he's admonishing young Timothy of what he needs to do in order to face these trials that he would face, whatever it might be. And it's a great admonishment for all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to focus on verses 6 and 7, but I want to pick it up in verse number 3. Again, he's writing to Timothy here. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day." And he had to remember Timothy in his prayers because he knew what he was going to be facing as he went out to preach the gospel message and serve people. Verse number 4, "greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So Paul recognized Timothy's faith. "Therefore," he says in verse 6, "I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Stir up the Spirit, which is only used here in the New Testament, which means to spur on, to stimulate, a verb of action, and can be translated kindle up, fan the fire, in other words. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So Paul is exhorting Timothy to exercise and increase the gift of the Spirit that God has given him. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, that help that's available for us, and love. I think that's so interesting, the way the Apostle Paul linked these two together. Power, the help of God's Spirit, and love, to be able to develop that fruit of the Spirit by means of that help. For the gospel according, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. And a sound mind is developed by God's, through God's word, his truth. So the Apostle Paul is giving a lot of admonition to Timothy here. And it's admonition to each and every one of us as well. I like this comment from the Aid to Bible Understanding, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and love that's connected together. It says this, it is evident that real, properly directed love can only come by seeking and following God's Spirit and the knowledge that comes from His Word. Seeking God's Spirit and the knowledge that comes from God's Word, His truth. Developing a sound mind and using that power help available to us. And we stir up the Spirit by digging into God's Word. The knowledge of God and His purposes gives us the right direction. And also, as we're talking about bearing the fruit of love in this particular sermon. So we learn how to love God and how to love others by following Christ's example. And even other examples of that in the Bible. And God's laws among them which are for our good. So to truly grow in the fruit of the Spirit of love, we must seek it from God because He is the source. And following Christ in His footsteps. Also, another way to be developing, to putting on this fruit of the Spirit, is we must submit ourselves and commit to God in obedience, and He will fill us with His love. We must submit ourselves and commit to Him in obedience, and He will fill us with His love. I'm not going to turn there, but Acts 5:32 reads, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Him. God's Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God. And as we God, the Holy Spirit grows and love is developed more thoroughly and completely. Matthew chapter 22. And let's read verses 35-40. Matthew chapter 22. This is a section of Scripture where Christ was debating with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And verse 34 points out that He silenced the Sadducees when they had gathered together. Then we come to verse number 35 of Matthew 22. And one of them, a lawyer, comes to Christ to ask Him a question. Verse 35. One of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And notice Christ's response here in verse 37. Then He said to him, you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And we know that what's spoken here in verse 37, love your God with all your heart and all your soul, is a reflection of the first five of the Ten Commandments. Love towards God. Going on, verse 39, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So you shall love your neighbor as yourself, reflected in the last five of the Ten Commandments. And Christ rephrased, love your neighbor, to a higher level of importance. Love is the intent of the commandments. Love is the intent of the commandments. And as we obey God, the Holy Spirit grows and love is developed more thoroughly. You don't think we think about that enough. In as going back to bearing fruit as disciples and bearing the fruit of love. As we obey God, the Holy Spirit grows and love is developed more thoroughly. As we begin to wind down now, let's go back to John chapter 15. I think it was so important to connect my sermon for the week of bearing fruit with the help of God's Spirit and connecting this very important fruit of the Spirit of love, because it's so important to all of us as disciples. John chapter 15. And let's pick it up again in verse number 8. John 15, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Then we come to verse number 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Christ was showing that he kept the Father's commandments and does abide in his love. And likewise, if we keep the commandments, we will abide in Christ's love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. A kind of joy that is even hard to contemplate from a human level, in a human standpoint. The kind of joy that Jesus Christ experiences. He spoke those things so that we can have that kind of joy if we follow him. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We have to love our brother just as Christ loved all of us. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends, which is exactly what Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. This is the greatest love that we can have, to lay down our life for our brother or sister. And Christ would actually fulfill that just a short time later after hearing these words to the disciples when he was arrested, tried, and put to death, as he laid down his life for all of us. Continuing on, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Verse 16, which I emphasized last week, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. It's been the emphasis in this entire section. But with an emphasis, another emphasis on bearing the fruit of love. Appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that it should continue on. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give. And finally, verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. And that's a commission to all of us as a way of bearing fruit, is to love one another, to have that kind of love that Jesus Christ had for all of us. And we build a relationship with him if we are bearing the fruit of love. And we fulfill Christ's commandment by loving one another. Such an important topic, and something that we can continue our studies on to help put on and grow valuable fruit of the Spirit. Finally, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we'll read verses 1 through 5. In this particular section, the Apostle Paul is talking about a step-by-step growth process that we go through as disciples on our way to becoming part of the family of God. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through whom we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, the future of God, to be part of the family of God in the kingdom of God. That's our hope. And not only that, verse 3, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. You know, it's not easy to go through trials and tribulations, but tribulation produces perseverance. Again, a step-by-step growth process on our way to becoming part of the family of God. Verse 4, and perseverance, character. And character, hope on this growth process. And finally, verse number 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. God's love is a product of the Holy Spirit. And God's love is a difference that the Holy Spirit makes in our lives. It helps us to do the greater works that typifies a true disciple, and especially develop fruit of the Spirit of love, to care for our fellow man, to serve in ways that we would not naturally do or have done before, and a strong desire to see others to come to repentance and their road to salvation as well. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, we can grow in love, to walk in love, and express it more fully. So in conclusion, as we go forward now, we kept the Feast of Pentecost Sunday, and we're going forward towards the fall Holy Day season, walking and following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Let's build and grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love. Let's be abiding in Jesus Christ, building that relationship with Him, stirring up the Spirit through constant contact with God's Word, being obedient to God and following the example and footsteps of Jesus Christ, and especially when we have the ability to serve others. Then we can be living examples to others of what love truly is. Let's be determined as we go forward to develop on the fruit of the Spirit of love.